They don't plant nor sow, but they're fed by the master who watches them grow. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. May I introduce you to this friend of mine, who hangs out the stars, tells the sun when to shine, and kisses the flowers each morning with dew. But he's not too busy to care about you. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. Consider the lilies, and then you will know.
I hope you are keeping up with the bills that are trying to be passed in Congress and in our Senate. And I hope you will voice to your congressman and your senator your opinion. I'm very concerned about the health care bill. I'm at the place, I'll be 70 tomorrow, and at the place where I'm on Medicare and a supplemental policy, but after working your life paying into it, they're about to take it away and put me under something they totally control. And for some reason or another, it bothers me that they want to meet with me every 5 years to talk about the end of life, how I want to go. I want to go up. I don't want to go through a hospital or an emergency room. I want to go with a trumpet and a shout. So, but it really bothers me. And then the cap and trade bill that's being debated at this time in the Senate. If we don't do something, we're not going to recognize America next year. We've got to do something. And president, I promise you, if any president, including Bill Clinton, in the last 20 years would have done some of the things he's done, they would have impeached him. Well, they did, didn't they? One of them. But nevertheless, they'd have kicked him out of office, crucified him. But we need to really pray. And more, and not only pray, talk to our Heavenly Father, but call our representative. And if that man or woman that's up there supposed to be representing you don't, they fall into that and you vote them back in next time, you're the one with the biggest problem. You deserve everything you get. Yeah, they're talking about the end of life and infanticide, assisted ending of your life. Dear God, I don't want government's help. It's not any of their business. I'd hate to know that when you've lived your life and come to your senior years, that the government looks at you as not important, so unimportant, that they would be better off to save a few dollars and end your life. That's disgusting. And when I was 20 and 30, that didn't bother me that much, but it's really bothering me now. Open your Bibles tonight to Psalm 11. Psalm 11. Another thing they're trying to do, and this is the politically correct crowd, they're trying to rewrite all of the textbooks that are being used in our school, and they're trying to do away with anything that separates the sexes, such as congressman or congresswoman or anything with man in it. They're the founding fathers. They're trying to do away with that statement. And we're in a mess. And you know why it's gotten to be a mess? It's because we've played our little games for what we want. We voted our pocketbooks and not principle. And God has given us what we deserve instead of what we really need in America. So I pray that you'll be alert. The world needs more alerts. You found your place in Psalm 11? Stand with me and we'll read one verse. You say, it's really not worth it for one verse. Well, this is the Word of God. We're standing in honor of the Word of God. And the God of the Word said through the psalmist in verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What's the answer? Absolutely nothing. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I want to speak to you tonight on this subject. The foundation, Satan's target. The foundation. Satan's target. Father, help me tonight in these next few moments to cause your people from this preacher to the newest person in our church to stop and think about what the devil and the liberal and the church hater and the Bible hater and the God hater and the Satan partner is trying to do to our country, to our church, and to our Bible. They're trying to change the way of life that we know, the way of life that's been preserved by a constitution. It's been paid for in blood and defended on the battlefield. Men and women have sacrificed financially and businesses in order to bring America into existence. We fought wars just for our liberty and our independence. How dare we in 2009 become so self-centered and self-satisfied with status quo that we'll let someone come in and take over our nation and destroy our wonderful heritage. Now, Lord, we need your help tonight. Help us to understand it's not just our national heritage that's at stake, but old Satan's fighting to destroy our biblical heritage, our Baptist heritage. Help us to be diligent and loyal and faithful and true to your book. Help us to make a difference. And if we can't make a big difference, help us to determine to make a little difference, but not just stand by and do nothing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Is the question that is asked here in our text. If I wanted to destroy the structural integrity of a building, I'd not begin with a hammer on the roof, beating on the roof. I'd try to destroy the foundation, and eventually the entire building would crumble. The foundation must be strong and properly built, or the house will be in a constant state of instability. And season by season, it is constantly moving closer and closer to the place of collapse. And may I say to you and remind you that the foundation of our nation is under attack, and the foundation of our faith is under attack. This is true about every phase of our Christian life. If the foundation of the home or the marriage is weakened, then deterioration sets in until the home or marriage crumbles. If the foundation of a local church is weakened, then the local church begins to deteriorate until it crumbles. Now, I'm not talking about the church in heaven. I'm talking about a local church on earth. I know Jesus is the foundation and the chief cornerstone, but I'm going to talk about something else that's necessary for a church to stand strong. If the foundation of our faith is weakened or destroyed, then our faith will collapse until we begin to question the fact, is there really a God? Is God real? Now, what is the foundation of our Christian home and our Christian marriage and our church and our faith? Well, may I say, first of all, that we need to put Jesus in the right place, because He is the sure foundation. He is the true foundation. The devil cannot undo what Christ has done. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation hath no man laid than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, a sure foundation." But what I'm talking about tonight is not the government destroying Jesus or what He's done. It's not the government destroying a salvation that He's purchased for us. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:20, "And we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." Now, Jesus is the foundation, but He's also the chief cornerstone. And we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Now, what does that mean? The statement "foundation of the apostles and prophets" refer to the writing of the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles, or in other words, the Word of God, our Bible. So in the above two verses in Corinthians and Ephesians, we're told that Jesus Christ and the Bible is our foundation, and Jesus is both foundation and chief cornerstone. Now, our text asks the question, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Again, I say to you that the devil and this world cannot undo what Christ has done. But the devil and the world can destroy and put question marks about His Word to the place where we won't know Christ. Next generation won't know Him. And churches will get to the place where they won't honor Him. Put question marks on the Bible, and what guidance do we have for our life and our church, our marriage, and raising our families? Evidently, the foundation can be destroyed in the eyes and the hearts of individuals here on earth, or God would not have asked the question. The foundation is important. It's upon what we build the rest of our life, our marriage, our family, our church, our home. I say again, we know the devil or modernism cannot destroy Jesus and what He's done for us on Calvary. Whatever the modernist says, they cannot undo Calvary. They cannot undo your salvation or mine. Now, we know that. That's not the question I'm asking tonight, if Jesus Christ alone is the foundation that's being spoken of here, then how can that foundation be destroyed? Well, the foundation of Christ can't. The work of Christ can't. But our faith and belief in Christ can be. The book that gives us our authority, the book that reveals the mind of God and the heart of God, can be destroyed. I'm talking about on earth. I realize it's settled in heaven. And I believe with all my heart, every one of us, when we stand before God, is not going to be judged by our opinion or what we think. We're going to be judged by the Word of God. Jesus said, in that day, there's one that will judge you. My Word shall judge you. We are secure not only by what Jesus has done for us, but we're also secure by knowing and understanding who He is and what He has done for us. My life has purpose, peace, direction, and meaning because I know about the foundation. I know what He's done for me. I know who He is. I know His promises. I know my life. I know my future. And that's what gives me the assurance, the peace, because I know. But what makes it possible for me to know Him? What makes it possible for you to understand the love of God and the sacrifice of Christ and redemption and on and on and on? So since Jesus and what He's done for us cannot be destroyed, Satan attacks to destroy what it is that helps us to understand who Christ is and what He's done for us. And that's two things, I believe. Two things. Number one, the Bible. The Bible. And number two, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church. The local New Testament church. The church is instructed with preaching and teaching and declaring the Word of God. And Satan would like nothing better than to destroy our Bible and to close the doors of churches. Now, you say, I don't believe he can do either one. All right, then he'll settle for casting doubt on them. He'll settle for you thinking that the church is no longer relevant today. Why, all they do is preach the Bible. What does that have to do with my life in 2009? It has to do with peace and purpose and direction and knowing the will of God and a place through which you can serve the living God. Well, I'll just worship Him in my home, a home church. Had a man had the audacity to say that to me one day sitting right back there. I just worship God. I said, all right, how many missionaries do you support in your home church? Well, we don't have any missionaries. I said, then what purpose do you have as a church? I said, by the way, what happens to your tithe? Well, what does that have to do with it? Well, God told us to give our tithe to the storehouse. I believe the New Testament storehouse is the local church. So, if he cannot destroy the Bible or destroy the church and close all their doors, he'd like to modernize the Bible and liberalize the Bible and change its meanings and change its wording so you don't know whether it's right or not. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. There's not been a lot of changes in the Bible, just a little here, a little there. If I put a little arsenic here and a little arsenic there in your coffee or your iced tea, what would you think about that? I mean, here we're talking about truth. We're talking about purity. We're talking about something that changes our life, that say can lead us to the place where we can be saved, our sins be forgiven. Here is a book that lets us know the mind of God and the heart of God and the will of God. Here's a book that gives me peace on earth, a future to look forward to, direction for my life, meaning. What, my soul, I enjoy living and serving Jesus. You know what makes that possible? Knowing Him. Knowing about His church. Knowing how to build a marriage. Knowing what my responsibility and role is in the marriage and what my wife's is. Knowing the importance of the church. Being a part of it. Being faithful to it. Serving God through it. Giving my tithes and offerings through the church so the gospel can go around the world. Now I'm here to tell you, the devil knows he can't destroy Jesus, but he'd like to destroy the very things that makes it possible for us to know God. That's the Bible and the ministry of His church. And my dear friend, if you can learn more about God on TV, then something's wrong in the church you're going to. Rule number one, you never go to Hollywood to learn about God or the Bible. I have people all the time say, now preacher, in the Ten Commandments, there's a disagreement with what the Bible says. Well, duh, believe the book. You don't go to Hollywood to get Bible truth and Bible knowledge. Unless there's a good fundamental Bible-believing independent Baptist church located there in Hollywood. Why? Paul said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now notice, the pillar and ground, that's foundational. Of the truth, that's the Bible. The Bible. So, Satan's target is on the church and the Bible today. The church and the Bible. If he can't shut it down, he'll try to liberalize it. He'll try to turn it into an entertainment center. He'll try to turn it into something that moves the flesh and not the heart or the soul or the spirit. He'll turn it into a place where you're more interested in getting a message on your cell phone than hearing the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. You didn't think I could get through this without mentioning a cell phone, did you? You know, Jesus Himself illustrates that the Bible, or that the Word of God, the words of God, is foundational. Remember over in the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, when He's ending His Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, whosoever cometh to Me and heareth My sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on the rock. So Jesus is illustrating the fact that the Bible is foundational in our Christian life. In order to destroy our Christian life, in order to destroy our peace, in order to take us out of the will of God and hinder our marriage and steal away our children and wreck our home and destroy our church. Satan does not have to destroy Jesus. He attacks this. And if he can get you to close this and lay it aside, it's not going to be a month until you're in trouble. I want you to know this blessed book is as necessary for your spiritual upkeep and your spiritual growth and your walking in the will of God as anything I know of in our Christian life. This blessed book. It's no wonder that preachers all over this country is attacking the Bible. I mean, they're lining up. Well, we believe it is inspired only in its original form. Then you don't have an inspired Bible because you don't have the original form today. If I don't have the Word of God in the King James Bible, I don't have the Word of God. Because the original manuscripts don't exist today except in heaven. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe God's promise of inspiration and preservation applies to this book as it did to the Hebrew and the Greek manuscripts. And I believe the book God has in heaven, one of the books we'll be judged from according to Revelation, reads exactly like this. May not be in English, but I don't believe the doctrines have changed and the principles have changed and holiness has changed. The importance of a soul has changed. All he has to do is cast doubt on the Bible, destroy our relationship to the Word of God, then our relationship to our local church, our Christian walk, our faith, our family, our marriage can all be destroyed. Now, let me say very quickly, and I'm almost through. Both the Bible and the local church must be in our life, and we must have a relationship with both, a right relationship with both. We can do nothing against Satan's attack. The Bible is our sword of the Spirit, our offensive weapon against Satan's attack. If you don't use the sword, what are you going to use to defeat him, to gain victory over him? You know, Jesus, with all the power of the omnipotence in him, in himself, did not call angels or seraphims or cherubs to deliver him from Satan's temptation. Jesus took out the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. It is written. And I challenge you tonight, I challenge you to show me how you can put on the whole armor of God without a right relationship to the Bible, because every piece of that armor has to do with something about the Word of God. The helmet of salvation. How do you know you're saved? Because you feel like it? Well, if you think that, you've already been messed with by the wrong person. How do you know you're saved? These things have I written unto you that believe, that you may know you have eternal life. Shield of faith. Where do you get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you go through every piece of that armor, and it's associated with the Word of God. You can't put on the whole armor of God. You have no power against Satan's attack if you don't have a right relationship with this book. And I don't believe you can have a right relationship with God in this book without having a right relationship in a Bible-believing New Testament church. I believe it is God's will that every Christian be involved in a local New Testament church in this age. I mean, if you are physically able to go, I believe it's the will of God for you to be in His church on the Lord's Day. And I don't believe we can be right with God and willfully take ourselves out of the fellowship of a local New Testament Bible-believing church, Baptist church. The church, by preaching and teaching the Bible as the pillar and the ground of the truth, has God's promise that Satan cannot prevail against it. And the power of the church is not a building. It's not a church plant. It's the people bound together by a covenant of faith, believers that have been saved and scripturally baptized, bound together by a covenant of faith for the purpose of making Christ known here at home and around the world. That's our purpose. And may I say to you, There's a lot of people meeting tonight that's not doing that. And I believe God's not pleased. He may be so unpleased that He's removed the candlestick. What can the righteous do? What can the saved do for God or for good if the foundation, our Bible, and our churches be destroyed? Or if we have no relationship with either? I'll tell you what we can do. Absolutely nothing against Satan's attack. I wish you understood the power and protection in the unity of believers in a church. I promise you the devil's not afraid of a Christian that will not be a part of a local church, a local congregation. I've used this illustration many times. You read in the Bible about the locusts. They had the plague of locusts in Egypt. There'd be times when the locusts or the big old grasshoppers would be so thick they'd block the light of the sun in midday. They'd come into an area in just a few minutes, every green blade of grass or leaf would be gone. People were afraid of that band of locusts that would come in that would cover the landside. They'd scream, they'd run, they'd hide for fear of their life. But who's afraid of a grasshopper? I walk outside and see a grasshopper on my porch and I say, oh, there's a grasshopper. You try to live your life apart from his local church, apart from his Bible. Devil sees you out there by yourself and he says, oh, there's a Christian. But bound together as a New Testament Bible-believing church, we have the promise that the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. Now that may not mean anything to you, but it's protection to me. It's safety to me. It's security to me. In a troubled world, I need that promise of power. And then let me quickly finish. Without the Bible or our local church, we have no authority or guide for our lives. We don't know what's doctrine and what's right to preach. We have no authority for doctrine. We have no authority for our home, no authority for our marriage. We do what they did in the book of Judges. Every man will do that which is right in his own eyes. The most chaotic time in Israel's history. We need the authority of God's Word to guide us, to teach us, to grow us. Without the Bible in our local church, we have no stability or peace for our life. Now I want you to know, I can listen to CNN, the Communist News Network, and I get upset. And then I turn over to Fox and hear the truth and I get mad. But I go to the Word of God and I find peace and I find comfort. There's no stability or peace for our life apart from the Bible and His church. Did you look forward to coming to church tonight? Did you say, hot dogs, I get to go to church tonight? Or just go, oh, this Wednesday night, got to go to church. Hey, come on, kids, we got to go to church. Come on, wife, get up out of that chair. We got to go to church. You know, it might change their whole attitude if you'd change your wording from gotta to we get to. Without the Bible, I don't know about any future hope or happiness. Without the Bible, I have no truth to believe. You gonna believe the politician? You gonna believe our president? You say, how do you know if he's lying? His mouth is moving. But hey, this is truth. it doesn't change. Ms. Shaddix, tell Brother Bob thank you for that letter. My, what an encouragement. What a help in tough times. Thank you. Let me conclude. God asked the question, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now I'm going to let you close the message. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Nothing. Let's say it again. Nothing. Well, we have a responsibility to make sure we stand for truth. I'm not going to let somebody take it away from me without a fight. As long as I've got life, I'm going to hold on to the truth of this blessed book. I'm not going to let somebody steal our Baptist heritage. 50 million Baptists have been martyred rather than give up our Baptist doctrine and our Baptist heritage. I'm not going to give that up. I'm not going to let somebody take that away from me. I'm not going to do it. These are foundational things. And if the foundation be destroyed, our church, our life, our home, our family, our children are shipwrecked. Now let me go a step further. If you get so busy in your life, whether it be a career or even ministry, then you neglect to teach your children the foundational truths, then you're a failure. You're a failure. God's entrusted us with the privilege of this book. My life, my ministry verse is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. For as we're allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as to please men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for saving our souls and giving us the Word of God and preserving it, having men take the Greek and the Hebrew and translate it under your guidance into English, so we who read nothing but English can have the Word of God in our own language. Lord, this Bible is a miracle in itself. The King James Bible, the English Bible. How we ought to thank God for it, for your preservation of it. Now, Heavenly Father, put in our hearts a gratitude and a love for this book and our church, because it's from this book and the teaching and ministry of our church is Christ made known in our own hearts and our own lives and around the world. I sure do love you. In these tough days that our country is going through and our churches are going through, let us not waver. Let us not be deceived. Let us not fall into Satan's trap. But help us to take our stand on your word and for your cause and in your church in these last days. Lord, when you come, I don't want to be one of those that's outside the church. I don't want to be one of those outside of your will. I don't want to be one of those questioning your book. I want to be one that's been faithful and submissive to the will of my Father.